Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 7, day 4 of our study of Luke. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Luke 18, 1 through 17. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. If you've been blessed by this podcast, I'd like to encourage you to leave a review on your podcast app of choice. It really helps other people find out about the 10-week Bible study. And my heart is that other people will fall in love with God and with His Word. With that, let's go ahead and jump in. Let's pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your Word has to say to us, God? Speak to us, fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's Word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Luke 18, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is one of my favorite parables, one of my favorite stories in all of the Bible that Jesus tells. When we think about prayer, very often we're so quick to lose heart. We're so quick to lose steam. And I know this personally from myself over and over and over again. It's so easy to lose heart when we don't see the Lord come through when we think he should or quickly. And we may pray something once, or we pray something twice, and it doesn't happen, and we give up. But Jesus is giving us this parable to understand that we ought to pray and not give up while praying. And so he sets up this scenario here where there's an unjust judge. Like, I mean, he's a corrupt, wicked judge. He doesn't care about getting justice for anybody else. He only really cares about, you know, his own life and his money or whatever else. And this woman, this old widow comes to him, and he doesn't say what the issue is. He just says that there's an issue. And you would think that even an unjust, you know, cranky old judge would look at a widow and be like, ah, you're a sweet old lady and life's dealt you a bad hand. I'll help you. Even out of pity, the judge doesn't do anything. And so, you know, Jesus says that eventually, though, because this woman won't stop coming to him, she won't stop bothering him. One version of the Bible says, you know, I'm going to give her justice because she's wearing me out. This one says it gives the implication maybe in the original text that he's afraid that she might actually like hire some guy to come and attack him or something, but he's just like bothered by her. So because he's bothered by her, he's like, fine, I'll give you justice. I'll rule on your case. Cause up to that, he won't even like listen to her case. He won't take her case. So he finally takes her case and gives her justice. And Jesus said, listen, this is like, you can understand this. You can perceive, you've probably dealt with a corrupt judge like this. So you know what I'm talking about. And he's like, and you can perceive this. He's like, in your mind, you'd be like, yeah, I could see a judge or two that I've heard of, or I know doing that. He's like, if you can see a wicked judge doing this for a woman like this, how much greater will God, who loves you, who cares about you, give you justice if you don't give up? If you don't give up, and that's the issue with prayer. That's, and this also is how Jesus defines faith. He says, when the Son of Man comes on earth, will he find faith? Will he find people praying like this? I've heard a lot of people, you know, define faith as, you know, well, you pray it once and you just know it's going to happen. And that's how God works. And there, nothing could be further from the truth. That's the opposite of how Jesus defines faith here. Jesus says, faith is, will you pray and keep praying? Will you see it through? That's how Jesus defines faith. Let's continue on, verse 9. To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. People were also bringing babies. Or let's pause right there. This is a powerful story right here. Jesus is telling this parable of this, this really awesome religious guy who does everything right, and this guy who's just a screw up from God's perspective. You know, supposedly he can't do anything right. He's a sinner. He's done all these terrible things. But God approves of the latter, because he's the one who comes and repents. He's the one who humbles himself before God, and that's the one that God exalts. I had a friend who had spent time as a missionary in North Africa, and he said on multiple occasions, something like 10 or 20 occasions, he had the opportunity to speak to between 1 and 2,000 Muslim men, very religious Muslim men at a time. So many, many thousands of Muslim men, but 1 to 2,000 at a time at each one of these events. And he said he would get up and he would tell this parable right here, except what he would do is he would contextualize it into an Islamic understanding. And he would say, you know, okay, there was one guy who he went to mosque every Friday, gave his alms to the poor, had made the Hajj. He did the five pillars of Islam perfectly. But he said one day he came into the mosque and, you know, he did all of this kind of stuff. But one day in the mosque, he spent the entire time that he was supposed to be praying having impure thoughts about another person. And he said another man came up, he even though he had the money, hadn't made the Hajj, he didn't really give alms to the poor, he rarely showed up for prayer on Fridays, you know, all of the five tenets of Islam he was really bad at. But he came to mosque one Friday and he fell on the ground and buried his face into the prayer rug and said, Allah, I'm a sinner, I haven't done all these things, will you have mercy on me? And my friend, this guy, he said he would always ask the question, which one of these two men is justified before Allah? And he said, without question, all 1 to 2,000 people in attendance would all shout in unison, the first man. The first man was justified, the one who did all of the things right. That's the thing that Jesus is giving the Pharisees and all these people here. He's giving them the one who does everything right. But we know that he's the one rejected by God. My friend would say he would get that response every time he knew he was going to get that response, and they would get done. And then afterwards, after this meeting was over, he would have one or two, he said, or three. He said it was never more than three out of 1 to 2,000 people, and it was never less than one. One, two, or three people would come up to him afterwards and say, there's something about that story that you told that I can't quite put my finger on. It's not quite right, but there's something about that story I can't tell. And he said immediately he knew those were the people that the Lord was resting on. And every single time he said they always got saved. When he explained the parable and when he explained who Jesus was, they were always the ones with the hearts open to get saved right then and there. And isn't that the way that it is in the kingdom of God? So often we feel like we preach to the masses, that God wants us to preach to the masses. And in reality, he does want us to preach to the masses, but very often we preach to the masses for the sake of the few humble hearts that are close to the Lord. The Lord is drawing to himself. Verse 15, people were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But then Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. That's a harsh statement, and that's a statement that's really difficult to wrap our minds around, but it's really important that we come to him as with the faith of a child. Like in the story that I told about the little Japanese girl who wanted to see the mountain thrown away, we just have to believe that he is who he says he is, that he's going to do what he says he's going to do, that he's going to come through, that he knows us, that he loves us. We have to come to him with the faith of a child. Anyone who's had children, you know what that faith of a child looks like. You say it day in, day out when they're 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. You see that. You see that just blind faith and love and trust. And that's what Jesus says. That's how we have to be with him. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.